Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker. Hey guys, Pastor Tim here. Before we dive into the program this morning, I want to take a minute and invite you and your family to come and join us tonight at 7 p.m. for a Christmas Eve candlelight service. This will be a time of fellowship and worship as we remember the reason for the season, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray that this is a blessed Christmas for you and your family. God bless and Merry Christmas.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Father, with joyful hearts and thankful hearts. Father, as we enter into this Christmas time, may we remember that you are the reason for the season. It's not about just the gifts and everything else, but it's about the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. Lord, we thank you for our offering. May we utilize it to bring you glory. May we use it to share your word around our community. Lord, be with each person here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship our Savior this morning.
Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is born. Oh. You know, this is that moment, and just because it's the holidays doesn't mean we stop. If anything, we need to continue in even harder. This is that moment where we take the three people in our lives that don't know Jesus, and we lift them up in prayer. And we are supposed to be doing this each and every day for the three people that need Jesus in our lives. And you know what? We started this in the beginning of the year, and I think we are up to 9 people that have said yes to Jesus this year that were put on people's My Three list. I mean, that's amazing. And it shows the power of prayer and how important it is that we never give up, with the longest one being someone was praying for someone for 35 years. Praise God for that inside of this moment. May we always remember to lift these people up, each and every person, because we don't want anyone to go another day without them. We don't want another person to have to go a day. That is the whole reason Jesus came, to make a way where there was no way, to restore our lives and give that opportunity. So as a corporate body, let's come together. Let's lift up the people that we know that don't know Jesus. And let's put them at the feet of the cross. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person here this morning. I thank you for their willingness to come together and to just celebrate you. Lord, we know there are many people in our world that don't know you at this moment. Each one of us have people that you've laid on our hearts that are walking around in the darkness of the world. Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have answered so many prayers already, but Father, we know there's many more out there. Lord, may we have the courage to speak boldly on your behalf. May we be willing to listen when we need to listen and to speak when we need to speak. Father, may we have the opportunities and may we not squander them. Father, we know each person is precious to you. Each one that is here and those even outside of the walls, they all matter, each and every one. Father, we praise you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship. Let's keep the energy up because we're praising our Savior, who restored our lives.
Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Away in a manger, don't creep for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no time he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Jesus.
Hey, kids, if you are at Awana, we would like to have you up front. Oh, hurry, hurry, hurry.
There's a gift that keeps on giving and never breaks and never stops. Better than toys and candy, this gift of love goes on and on. God loved the world, so he gave to us the best present.
Gotta love the kiddos. And
the light glowing from our Advent wreath is burning brighter. This radiance warms our hearts and fills us with the joy. The Lord has done great things for us. Let us rejoice. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. There, light three candles, see them glow brightly, so that all may know how three candles show the way, making our darkness bright as God's day.
As we pray, dear God, we carry many burdens and worries over many things. Help us to hear your promise in the Advent season, that in hearing we may receive the Spirit's gift of joy, and may our spirit be kept sound at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I want to welcome our guests. I want to welcome those joining us online and the radio. We're so thankful that you could be here this morning. We're excited for today. You know, it's hard to believe that we're only a week out from Christmas Eve. Yet here we are. And I want to be clear on this. If you haven't got your Christmas shopping done yet, you got a good 6 days left. All right? You got 6 days. You got plenty of time. Amazon Prime, 2 days. So, you know, just kind of keep that in mind. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's start off by going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person here. Father, I thank you for your Son. I thank you for the gift that he gave each of us. Father, as we prepare to dive into your word this morning, I just pray that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I pray that if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But Father, I also pray that your message may penetrate even the hardest of hearts, that we get to know you in a deeper way, and that we can find joy and comfort in you. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit down. May his presence be known. And Father, for those that are hurting this morning, may they know that there is hope, even in this lost world. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue in our God With Us series, where we've been looking at the lessons that we can learn from that very first Christmas. You know, over the first couple of weeks, we looked over at Joseph and Mary and the things they would have gone through leading up to the birth of Jesus, the very reason for the season. And we're in right now. We often think that that was a simple time for them, if not a magical time. This idea of a young couple expecting their first child, and not just any child, but the Savior of the world. But we saw over the last couple of weeks that it would have been anything but easy for them. This calling that God placed on their lives to be the parents of the coming Savior was not as simple as we often would like to believe. Not as simple as what we often look at it. It would have been messy. It would have been difficult. You know, often when we look over at that first Christmas, our minds get that Hallmark-like image of the event in our heads, where everything just goes smoothly and easily. And everything just, Yet the truth is, Joseph and Mary both had to face multiple social stigmas and challenges along the way, facing heartbreak and pain. You know, for Mary, she was pregnant outside of marriage. This could have cost her everything. Her family, her friends, it could have even cost her her soon-to-be husband. All of that. And it even could have cost her her life. And for Joseph, if he took Mary as his wife, he was taking on social stigma of his own. You see, in that time, by him saying yes, that he's going to continue to marry her, it was almost as if he was admitting that he was the father, even though neither one had done anything wrong. But to the outside world, from the outside looking in, there was stigma behind it. Yet we looked at these stories and each of their perspectives, and we saw even through the most difficult of times and the most difficult things that they could be asked to do, they chose to stay obedient to God and what he asked of them. We were reminded through the text that even when we choose to follow Jesus, life gets messy. But not everything is as black and white as we would like it to be. Yet we thank God through it all, he makes a way even when we don't always see a way. You know, Joseph and Mary trusted God when he called them to action. And they stood up and said yes, even when they didn't understand how God was going to do it. And those are the lessons that we can take away from them. And I know over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at those events that led up to the birth of our Savior. This morning, though, we're going to change gears just a little bit. And we're going to switch over and we're going to look at one of the first events that occurred after Jesus was born. We're going to be taking a look at the shepherds this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. For those who want to read along, and it'll also be up on the screen. We're going to start here in verse 8, and it says, "In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the field and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born to you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them, they returned to heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, because the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed of what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. What a sight that would have been for the shepherds that night, that first Christmas. To not only have the angels proclaiming to them that the Savior of the world was here and that he had come, but to go and actually see the Savior face to face. To see him laying there in the manger just as they were told would happen. It's like a Hallmark moment. They couldn't write a better script if they wanted to. The excitement would have been high. I mean, they just saw the long-awaited Savior that they've been waiting for a long time for. I mean, this has been foretold for centuries beforehand. And here he was. And they got to go see him. You know, often we get caught up in the niceties of this event. The niceties of it all. You know, we know this story. Many in here have heard it over and over in our lives. A lot of us probably have heard it since we were babies. The Christmas story is one of the most well-known stories around the world, especially here in America, where most people, even those who don't believe in God, have heard this story and understand the basics of it. And there's a lot more to this. There's more meaning to this than what we often understand or realize. There's a lot we miss because oftentimes when we read these stories, we read them through our eyes. We read them through our cultural lens. We don't take the time to see what was actually going on, what was the situation at that time, and we miss a lot when we do that because we don't always understand. But when we dive in and we look at the scripture and we look at the culture of the time and what was going on, we gain a much better understanding, a much more significance of this event. You know, as I was preparing for this, and I always wondered why and how did the shepherds get so blessed that they were the first ones told about Jesus being born? Why did God choose to reveal the Savior of the world to a simple group of shepherds? The simple group of people. You know, now if we read the Old Testament, we seem to have a pretty positive view of shepherds in our world today. We seem to have a pretty positive view of shepherds around us. I mean, think about it. Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. And we even talk about Jesus himself. What do we call him? The Good Shepherd. So often when we hear the word shepherd, in our minds is a very positive view. We go there and we look at it, and that's how our minds go for it. We've gotten so used to the story that we no longer give it much thought. We no longer actually look at what's being said. But the truth is, the shepherds were not well respected at this time in history. They were not loved by many. The shepherds were not the first person you would have thought about having such good news delivered to them. They were not the elite of the world. They were not the priests in the temple, the leaders of the temple. They were not kings or queens. In fact, the shepherds were looked down on society around them quite a bit. They were a very unlikely group of people to receive such a special message. Yet at this point in history, The shepherds were so despised, and they were one of the most despised and mistrusted people in their community. So much so that they often weren't even allowed inside the cities. And there are several reasons why. For one, being shepherd was a 24/7 job. You know, if you were a shepherd, you were on duty 24/7. It was one that never ended. It required you to be on guard and working at all times. I mean, the life of the sheep of your flock were in your hands. It was all you. And because of this, they were not known for observing all the little details of the law. All the Old Testament law. We have to remember at that time, they were still underneath the Old Testament laws. They had to observe over 600 laws and regulations to be considered a good Jewish person. Can you imagine that? 600 different things that you had to constantly keep in mind for everything you did. And some of these things were like hand washing rituals before food, before you ate, and a whole bunch of different things like that. And they had to be followed strictly. Well, when you're spending all your time out in the field, and all your time is spent around the sheep and everything else, you didn't necessarily open yourself up to being able to follow all these rules all the time. It didn't really do a good job of keeping you in good standings. And on top of that, they would what many people would consider to be bad church members. Okay? Hear me on this. They would what many would have considered bad church members. All that time out in the field taking care of the flock didn't necessarily give them a chance to get to the temple every week. They weren't able to go for worship on a regular basis. Something that was expected of them in their eyes to keep you in good standings with God. So under the law of the time, they were often looked at as unclean and unworthy. They were constantly looked down on by the world around them. Who are our people that we look down on all the time? Who are the ones that we look down on and frown on? Because here's the thing, they were those people at that time and God went to them first. God delivered that message of hope to them first. You know, they weren't wealthy, they weren't well educated. I mean, how can you have time for education when you're constantly in the field taking care of the flock? They didn't have time for that. And you would think with all that time spent working, though, the pay would be somewhat okay. Yet, it was one of the poorest paying jobs of its day. On top of that, from many accounts I read, like I said, they were not very well trusted. Apparently, when they came through an area, things happened to disappear. So they weren't really trusted. And in fact, their reputation was so bad at times that they were not even allowed to testify in court. Because people just assumed they would lie. They were looked down on. There's only one group who was considered lower at that time in history, and that was the lepers. Yet God chose them. He chose them to be the first group of people that he would reveal that the Savior of the world was born. To let them know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords was here. And this is kind of a shocker to our system. Why would God, if he was the lowest, if they were the lowest, why would God reveal the Son to them first? You know, we would think that God's own Son, the Savior of the world is born, the invitations would have gone out to the most important people of the day. We just assumed that the shepherds were part of that. That's just naturally where we go because in our minds, that's how it's supposed to work. You know, the kings, the queens, the religious elite of the day, the wealthy people, we never would have imagined that God would send that message to someone that low in society first. Yet that's what God did. God sent that message of hope, that choir of angels, to a few poor, smelly shepherds, the social and religious outcasts of their day. We may be wondering, why would God do this? If they were that far of an outcast, why was it so important that he sent them the message first? instead of all these other people. They were clearly not perfect. They were clearly not people with influence or status in their community. Yet God chose them to be the first to receive the message. We have to remember that God doesn't care about those things. He doesn't care about the same things society does. He doesn't care about someone's social status. He doesn't care how wealthy they are compared to the world around them or what a person looks like on the outside. He cares about the heart of the people. In fact, often throughout history, the Bible, we see that God uses the most unlikely people to achieve his plans. He uses people that you and I would never have even imagined if we knew. He uses the outcasts, the downtrodden, the ones who felt like they have no hope, and God stepped up and he used them. You know, all those great stories that we learned growing up in the Bibles, the heroes of the Bibles, these were men and women that no one else would have ever picked to carry out the calling that God called them to. They never would have imagined that God would use them. You know, we've got like, when we come around to the draft players, the NFL first draft, everything else coming up, they would never have been on that first round pick. Odds are they never would have made it into the draft to start with. They'd still be in middle school ball. Yet God chose so many of these people to carry out his work. And God used them in magnificent ways. I believe he did it because he wants everyone to know that Jesus came for all of us. He chose the shepherds, the outcasts, to be the first ones to receive the message to remind us that Jesus isn't just for some of us, but for all of us. You know, it tells us in Luke 2, verse 10, where it tells us, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The message that the angels brought to them, it was not just for the people that had their lives together. This message that the angels brought was not just for the ones who make it to church every Sunday and follow the rules of society to a T. No. Jesus came for each and every one of us and each and every person that lives in our community, each and every person in our country, and each and every person in the world. He came for everyone. He came for the world. The message of good news and joy that the angels were talking about was not for a select few, but for every single person. Now, I know sometimes that can be hard to believe, especially when we look at how some Christians have represented God throughout history. The church as a whole, or those who proclaim to be Christians, have not always done a good job of representing God to the world around us. Sometimes we've made it more about religion than about a relationship. We've made it more about going through the motions than actually having a relationship with our Savior, remembering that none of us are perfect and that God came to make a way for each and every one of us. And I want you to know, if you're one of those people, I'm sorry you've experienced that, but God still loves you. See, Jesus is not concerned with your past mistakes. He's not concerned about those past struggles you've had to face, the sin in your life today. He holds none of that against you. The message that we're celebrating this Christmas season is the message of hope of our Savior coming in the flesh to make a way where there was no other way. You see, this message of hope that the angels brought was for the sinner and the saint, is for the young and the old. He came to make a way where there was no way. And I know sometimes we can get into this mode where we go, well, we know that God is aware that I exist, but odds are he doesn't have the best opinion of me. I have fallen too many times. You may be thinking, I've done too many bad things. I've messed up my life one too many times. I've got a criminal record a mile long. I drink, I smoke, I have problems, and I struggle that others just would not understand. And I want you to know that you're not alone. Because deep down inside, a lot of people feel the way you feel. They struggle just as you struggle. They may struggle with different things, and your struggles may be more evident than other people's struggle. But the truth is, we all struggle. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want you to know, no matter how insignificant you may feel this morning, God knows who you are, and you are important to him. The Bible tells us that we were made in his image. It tells us that he knew us before we were in our mother's womb. And a verse that was read earlier today, John 3:16, the most famous passage of all, says, "For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." If you notice, it says, God loved the world. Love the world. Not God loved this person or that person. He doesn't say he loves the person who fits this mold or that mold. No, he says he loves the world, his entire creation. God doesn't show favoritism based on your social status or on how much money you have or your job title. No, God loves each of us exactly where we're at, and he's calling us home. He's calling us to turn back to him. And he loves us so much that he sent his son to make a way where there was no way, to pay a debt that he didn't have to pay. He brought the message of hope for the whole world to hear. And this morning, I want you to know it's not too late. God has already made a way where there is no way. I know at times it can be hard to even hear that. You know, some of us, we think of ourselves as the outsiders. We don't always think the highest of ourselves. We know we go throughout the year and we just kind of settle into what we think is our lot in life, and we just start going through the motions and we don't even give it much thought. We know we're not the first phone call what someone makes when they have good news. In fact, odds are we may never find out directly about that good news until it's posted on social media or somebody else comes up to us and tells us. It's like we're not even given much second thought. We know we're not the first choice when friends are going out to celebrate. We often feel like the third wheel in life. No matter what's going on, we can find ourselves in that corner. We're just the cog in the machine at work. We often wonder, if we didn't show up, would someone even notice? We often feel like an outsider even to our family and friends. And we settle into this mode. Yet when we come to this Christmas season, it just seems to bring this whole feeling to the forefront, and it magnifies it. This is what the shepherds would have been as well. They were not welcomed by most people in the world around them. They were not considered important by the world. Yet they were important. The world just never showed it. You know, without the shepherds, there would have been no sheep. The sheep provided food for the people, milk for them to drink, clothing, leather for tents. And without the shepherd, the sheep would have had no animals for their sacrifices in the temple. You would think they would have been more respected. But we have to remember the way that God views people versus how people sometimes view people is different. Because in God's eyes, they were important. You know, they were the outcasts, though. And they were left out on their own. You know, they were out in that cold, lonely fields night after night with nothing more than the animals to keep them company. They would have looked over at the village of Bethlehem and saw the lights of the homes. They heard the faint sounds of friends and families hanging out together, laughing and joking. And they would have wished they could have been a part of something like that. I've been there. I've had the feeling of being an outsider in my life at different times, not quite fitting in one place or another. Yet here's the good news. God loves you. You're not an outsider to him. You matter to him. You may feel unimportant in the eyes of a lot of people, but in God's eyes, you are important. You know, it doesn't matter if you grew up in a Christian home or if you grew up in a home that never mentioned God, he still loves you. The simple fact is that Jesus did not come to be the savior of some people. He came to be the savior of all people and all of mankind. That includes the rich, the poor, the young, the old. It includes the ones that are the outcasts of society. He came for us all. That message of good news that was brought back to the shepherds that night, that was not an accident. That message was intended for each of us. The Savior was born. That is what we're here to celebrate this morning on this Christmas season. Remembering that Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, so many people in our communities are walking around feeling like the shepherds. They haven't heard that message of great hope that is founded through Christmas season, the coming of our Savior, not just for an elect few, but for each and every person.
And we as the church have a responsibility to go out and share that message with each and every person. To not allow them to go without knowing that they matter. You know, one of the most beautiful things about the church, what set the church so apart in that early history, was that it was a whole bunch of people coming together that didn't make sense. You know, in the early church, so often everybody would stay within their own social class and their own little group of people, but yet the church was something where it blended everyone together, coming together and worshiping and praising a Savior because he came for everyone, not just a select few. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas, the coming of our Savior, the one that binds us together no matter where we're from in life. He binds us in this moment and he points us to the cross. See, Jesus came for the greatest gift of all. We get caught up in Christmas time about who can give the better presents, who can spend the most money, who can do this, who can do that. But the truth is the greatest gift of all has already been given, and it was Christ Jesus our Lord. And what he did is he came and he paid that debt on the cross for you and I. He came and paid that debt for the outcasts and the ones inside the building. Each and every person. All we have to do is accept that free gift of salvation. If you notice, it's called a gift. There's a reason God calls it a gift. Because there's nothing we can do to earn it. It is just handed to us. And I want to encourage you, church, this year, as you go out over this next week, think about the person that is an outcast in your life that may not have a place to go for Christmas, may not have people to surround themselves with, and give them the greatest gift of all and show them Jesus' love. Invite them in. Have that opportunity that our community can see wholeness and can see Jesus in each of us. I have talked to too many people in our community to know there's plenty out there. There's many who don't know him. And they need the church to step up and be the church. They need the church to show peace, love, and kindness that our Savior brings. To show that ultimate sacrifice that God gave. He paid way too high a debt for each and every one of them. Not just ourselves, but for those others in our community. May we remember that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're just as guilty as the next person. Some of us have just been blessed enough to be told about it. So let's share that message this year and remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. And that message of hope that the angels brought to the shepherds that night was for all the world, not just for a select few. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together. Father, may we always remember that Jesus is the reason for this season. That it was no accident that the shepherds were the ones who received that message of hope, because it was for all of us. The sinner and the saint. It was a message of hope for each person in our community and in our world. Father, you have tasked us to go out in that great commission and to share that gospel message with each person that we run into, whether it's with our actions or our words. Father, may we represent Christ well inside of our community. May we never forget that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are my Savior, Lord. You give me confidence. You give me love and peacefulness. You are helpful, Lord. You give me self-control. You fill me up with gentleness. That's how I know you are my Savior, Lord. That's how I know you are my Savior, Lord. We worship you. You fill me up with joy. You are my Savior, Lord. You give me confidence. You give me love and peacefulness. You are helpful, Lord. You give me self-control. You fill me up with gentleness. That's how I know you are my Savior, Lord. That's how I know you are my Savior, Lord. We worship you. You fill me up with joy.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.